I want to speak tonight from John chapter 8, a passage that is well known by all, and I don't expect to say anything new, and you better be glad. We don't have a new message. But I want us to see here tonight the experience of every believer, the sovereign grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in saving poor, wretched, miserable, guilty, hell-deserving sinners. This grace of our Lord Jesus Christ first can be seen in the last verse of chapter 7, where it says, "And every man went into his own house." Verse 1 says, Jesus went into the Mount of Olives. Do you see the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? He who was rich was poor, that you through his poverty may be made rich. The eternal Son of God, creator of all things, God, the only true living God, God manifest in the flesh, when he came into this world, didn't have where to lay his head. And the reason being is we forfeited everything. When we fell in our father Adam, we forfeited every benefit, every blessing from God. The curses upon everyone by that fall. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Oh, what precious name, Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. What a blessed name, our Lord Jesus Christ. I hope I don't need these notes. And early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came into him, and he sat down and taught him. This is just introduction. But the Lord Jesus Christ taught his people. Oh, how we need to be taught of the Lord Jesus Christ. The fact is, if he doesn't teach us, no man is no God. It's written, they shall all be taught of God. Everyone that is taught of God and hears him comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we're not taught of him, if the Holy Spirit doesn't bless his word, it doesn't matter how clear a man may speak or preach the message. If the Lord, the Holy Spirit, doesn't bless this word and cause a man to see who he is in the light of the glory of Jesus Christ and what he has done, who he is and what he has done, then this will be of no avail. But he taught the people. And as he was teaching the people there in the temple, the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now, I thought I put this in order, so I'm going to try to make it in order. This woman was taken in the very act, and this woman represents the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. This woman is every one of us who, by the grace of God, are saved from our sins. Every one of us, by nature, are spiritual fornicators. All men by nature are spiritual fornicators. What does that mean? All men by nature go after a god of their imagination, give themselves over to a false god. Man doesn't know God. Man cannot know God. And man's going about to establish his own god and follows his own thoughts and imaginations. You know, man knows there's a God, but man is not honest. The most honest thing a man could say is, I know there's a God, but I don't know him. That's the most honest thing a man can say. But you know what people say? I know there's a God, and I think he's like this. The moment a man says, I think, he's gone after his own ways. He's fabricated a God likened to himself, and he's joined himself to that God, and he's a spiritual fornicator. But now, listen, if I start speaking Spanish, y'all forgive me. God's children who were given to the Lord Jesus Christ in eternity are his bride, are his spouse. He is the husband, and we are his bride. When God the Father chose a people in eternity and gave us his people to the Lord Jesus Christ, we were a spouse to him. And when we fell in our father Adam, we, like all men, gone astray, seeking after false gods. But we, his people, are spiritual adulterers. Yeah. Spiritual adulterers. We have joined ourselves also to false gods. And this woman, the scripture tells us, and I say it's a picture of the sovereign grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in bringing his church unto himself and to knowledge of himself for this reason. It says she was taken in the very act, but not both of them were not brought before him. Have you ever wondered why the man was not brought before the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you ever wondered? If you read in the commentaries, people say all kinds of things. I believe it's this picture of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone in this world is a sinner, but only the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is brought to a knowledge that they are sinners. Only the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is brought to conviction that I have sinned. You can convince men, and I can convince men, that they've sinned. False preachers and false religionists, they try to use those tactics. They say, well, you've lied, haven't you? And the law says thou shalt not lie. Well, therefore, you're a sinner. You agree with that? And they say, well, I guess I am. I'm a sinner. That's not conviction of sin. The Lord said that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convince men of sin because they have not believed on me. You have not trusted me. We can only know God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. All other gods are false gods. All other gods are fabrications of man's imagination. And when a man is convinced of his sin, he's convinced in the preaching of the gospel that Jesus Christ is God, that there's no other God, and that I have not bowed to him. I have been committing spiritual adultery. And that is using the law of God lawfully. That shuts my mouth. That shuts a man's mouth before he is condemned. Condemned by the law. Guilty. Has nothing to say. These religious Pharisees, these Jews, they brought this woman and put her in the midst, right there in front of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful picture. They brought this sinner to the judge of all the earth. The Lord Jesus Christ said, the Father judges no man. Chapter 5, verse 22. The Father judges no man. He's committed all judgment to the Son. The Lord Jesus Christ is the judge of all earth, and he will do right. But the law can only condemn. These men brought the woman before the Lord Jesus Christ and said, the law says this woman needs to be stoned, killed. But what do you say? Now, their motive, it says here in the scripture, that they said trying to tempt the Lord. That is to say, they didn't believe he was God. They wanted to discredit him before the people because he was very accessible. The Lord Jesus Christ was a friend of sinners. He's a friend of sinners. No one that was a sinner ever was afraid to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. You know who felt uncomfortable in the midst of the Lord Jesus Christ? The Pharisees. The Pharisees did because he exposed their hypocrisy. He exposed their religion as all falsehood, hypocrisy and sin. But they brought this woman that was caught in adultery and set her in the midst. And they said unto him, Master, the woman was taken in adultery in the very act. That is a very good picture of what the gospel does when it arrests his people. I looked up that song, Hail Sovereign Love, that once began the scheme to rescue fallen men. And it's in here somewhere. But one of the lines says, thus the eternal counsel ran, almighty love, arrest that man. Almighty love, arrest that man. You and I were going in our own way. And God one day arrested us. Yes. Arrested us with the preaching of the gospel. And brought us to understand that all our righteousness are filthy rags. All we are is sin. We're convinced of sin. He says, now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? Oh boy, you could ask that question to eternity and never find an answer. How can God be just and justify the ungodly? Go out and look at the stars. All you hear is the crickets. Cricket, cricket. No answer. There's no answer. Only God found the way. God found the way whereby he may be just and merciful. They thought, we've got him against the corner. If he says, let her go, well, we've got him because he said, think not that I've come to destroy the law and the prophets. I didn't come to destroy, I came to fulfill. Now that has to be done. In order for any man to be saved, any man to be justified and stand before God, God's law has to be, he's the judge of all worth and he must do right. But they thought they had the Lord, as you will, with his back against the wall. How silly for man to think that they could stump the wisdom of God. God has found in his wisdom a way, the way, Jesus Christ, whereby he may be just and the justifier of the ungodly. Now, I want us to notice there that this woman, all during this transaction, this woman did nothing. This woman did nothing. This woman stood there guilty, condemned, with her mouth shut. You'll know when someone is being convicted by the Holy Spirit, they'll stop blabbing. They'll stop making excuses. This woman was quiet. She was guilty. She didn't say a thing. But the Lord Jesus Christ did something. A lot is written about what he might have written. He stooped to the ground. The Lord Jesus Christ, this said they, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. We're not told what he wrote on the ground. But we know this, that for any sinner to be justified before God, two things have to be sure. First of all, God's law has to be honored. God's law has to be honored. Perhaps he wrote, we read other times when he wrote the law of God with the finger of God, he wrote the Ten Commandments. His law has to be honored. The Lord Jesus Christ, in representing his church and saving his people, he came into this world to do that. When he said, in the volume of the book is written of me, I come to do thy will, O God, he's talking about establishing righteousness as a man here on earth. That means that as a man, he believed God and he always did that which pleased the Father. The Father said of him, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. But he wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. This is the first thing that must be in the salvation of his people. The Lord Jesus Christ said, think not that I've come to destroy the law and the prophets. I came to fulfill. I came to do everything. And he obeyed in every jot and every tittle. This is the righteousness. This is the righteousness of God. This is the only righteousness. And this is the righteousness that is your righteousness if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the righteousness that God accepts. It's the righteousness that he's provided. And it's the righteousness that he accepts. Well, it says here in the text that so they continued asking him, and he lifted himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. I see here almighty power. Almighty power of God. These men were chomping at the bit. They were quick at the trigger. They would have cast that stone just... They lifted up stones many times to cast them at the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were not able to. Why? Because his hour had not yet come. His hour had not yet come. The power of God to restrain these men. When the Lord Jesus Christ stooped down and wrote on the ground, he said, he that of you without sin, let him cast the first stone. He's the only one that could cast a stone. All these men were with sin. Everybody's a sinner. But the Lord Jesus Christ stooped down and wrote on the ground. And again, we're not told what he wrote on the ground, but we know this. The scriptures clearly teach us that in order for God to receive us in his presence, in order for God to save a sinner, the sin must be put away. The payment for sin must be done. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came into the world, he came not only to establish righteousness, to live that holy, perfect life before God the Father, he came to give his life a ransom for his people. The Lord Jesus Christ came to give or shed his precious blood to put away the sins of this people. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The Lord Jesus Christ stooped again. We read in 2 Philippians. I said that the other day. So what book is that? It's Philippians chapter 2. what book is 2 Philippians? And verse 5. You know the Apostle Paul is talking here to the Philippians. Let this mind be in you, which also in Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ humbled himself. But he said, let this mind be in you, the church, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. This is the first, if you will, if this is the first humiliation of the eternal Son of God. The eternal Son of God, the creator of all things, God blessed over all, came into this world and was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. How could I illustrate that? You see that maggot. You see that maggot wiggling around on that rotten corpse. What is that? Does that just give you all kinds of good feelings and good thoughts? It's revolting, isn't it? But you see that? You got it in your mind? What if I were to say to you, how would you like to go take the place of that maggot? You say, oh boy, that would be a great condescension. That would be a great humiliation for me to take the place of that maggot on that rotten corpse. And yet, if you could do that, if I could do that, that would not begin to compare to the humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of all things, who came into this world and was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. It's not a big jump for you to be made like a maggot. Because after all, we're both creatures. We're both creatures. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the creator of all things. He is God. And he humbled himself and became flesh. Anybody that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as God does not know God. Anybody that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as the true and living God, equal with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, these three are one, does not know God. And that Jesus they believe in cannot save them. The Lord Jesus Christ humbled himself and became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh. He became true man. Now, the purpose for that is that he may honor God as a man. Man, the law was given to man, and man must honor God's law. Man must honor God's law. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world and honored God's holy law. What a great, great humiliation. But that must be for you to enter into the presence of God. In order for God to save you from your sin, you must be in his presence, accepted. You have to have a righteousness, the righteousness of God. That's the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, not only that, you must have your sins removed from you. Sins taken away. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was made flesh, in the time appointed, the hour, when his hour came, the Lord Jesus Christ was made sin for us. The one who knew no sin was made sin for us. And when he was made sin, God's wrath fell on him. God's justice demanded death. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. And he died. Now, the only hope for you and I is that when he died, I died. Remember I said that we were given to Christ, united to Christ in eternity. We were his spouse. He's the bride and we're the spouse. When he died, I died. I died. That is he humbled himself. I was reading in Philippians. It said, let this mind be in you, which also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He is God. But he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. And he was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This was the Father's commandment, that he lay down his life for his people. He said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. This commandment have I received from my Father. You know, I've preached through this in several occasions, and I've always just, you read something, and you find something new every time. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he stooped, he went down lower than the woman. I've always read this, and for some reason or other, I've seen the woman cast at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it says here, so they continued asking him, and he lifted up himself and said to them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted in their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest and even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. The woman was standing. The Lord Jesus Christ went down low, low. He humbled himself. He said, I am no man. I'm a worm. I'm a worm. What condescension. What humiliation. Well, talking about how that God saves sinners. How does God save sinners? He saves sinners by his doing, by who he is, and by what he did. He represented this woman before her accusers. And notice they went out one by one, and he was left standing alone. And he was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Oh, that's good. That's a good place to be. No one in the middle. No one in the middle but the Lord Jesus Christ and his church. We need to learn to do that. Get out of the way. When someone is being troubled, when the Lord Jesus Christ is dealing with his people, and we get to understand that we're sinners and we're hell-deserving sinners, and if we're saved, it's only by the mercy of God, and it's hard, it hurts. And people try to come over and start comforting people. Get out of the way. Get out of the way. If the Holy Spirit's doing that, he's not going to leave the work halfway done. right? If the Holy Spirit is doing it, he's not going to leave the work halfway done. He that begun a work in you, he's going to perfect it to the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to learn how to get out of the way. He was left alone, and the Lord and the woman standing in the midst. Well, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers?" The Lord Jesus Christ, he stood up. He stood up after all the accusers were gone. After all the accusers were gone, he stood up. You know, the scripture says he was delivered for our offenses, and he was raised again for our justification. When the Lord Jesus Christ took our sins in his own body on the tree, he died. He died and he was buried. And he was buried, he took our sins away. When he arose on the third day, God gives testimony to everybody. God witnesses to everybody that, number one, he is who he said he is. He is God. They asked him one day, they said, "Are you the Christ?" He said, "I told you so. I told you so. I am. I am. I am. I am." They took up stone. They knew what he was saying. "I am Jehovah." They knew what he was saying. God justified him. God raised him from the dead. He took our sins on his own body on the tree. He went to the grave, and having satisfied God's justice, God satisfied the justice of God's holy law against that sin, that law that we broke, God raised him from the dead. Why? Because he received payment in full. The Lord Jesus Christ died for the sins of his people. How many sins? All the sins of his people. All their sins. This is the good news. This is the word that comforts God's people. Comfort ye, my people. Tell them that they received double for all their sins. Their sins are pardoned. I'm paraphrasing all this because it's coming out in Spanish. But they went out and left the Lord Jesus Christ standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers?" And that she said, he said, "Hath no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." What a wonderful sovereign grace of God that saves sinners. You see, in the beginning, it's sovereign grace. God is sovereign. The man was not brought. He has mercy on whom he will have mercy. He's not trying to save everybody. He's not trying to save everybody. He saves his people from their sins. What sovereign grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that he would save this woman, save the church from their sins. How? By the doing and dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. This woman did nothing. She was able to see what the Lord did for her. She was able to see what the Lord did for her. And when the Lord finished doing what he did for her, there was nobody that can accuse her. Who shall lay anything? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's? It's God that justifies. Christ died. Yea, has risen again. He's seated at the right. And right now there's no condemnation. No judgment. No condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because he suffered. He died. He satisfied God's holy law. And he said, "This no man condemn you." What grace. What grace. What sovereign grace. God saved his church who are guilty of spiritual adultery and leaves the rest of the world who think God loves them, don't they? They say, "Well, God loves me. God must love me." And people are hardened in their sin because God doesn't split them with a lightning bolt right then and there. This man might have thought, "Well, I got away with it." Did he get away with it? No. No, he didn't get away with it. Judgment comes. There's a day appointed when all men are going to stand before God. The only hope is that we be in Christ Jesus, that he represent us as he represented this woman before the holy law of God. He came to fulfill that law. He came to pay the penalty for that woman, that this his church. And he established righteousness and he paid for her sins. He paid for her sins. And he says, now this is the, what a wonderful word of grace that he says, are there any that condemn you? Can you imagine? Can you imagine the song of that? Well, she said, free from the law, happy condition. Jesus says, bled and there's remission. Happy condition. I'm free. The Lord Jesus Christ saved her from the condemnation of the law. She was condemned. The Lord Jesus Christ saved her from the penalty. She was about to be stoned. She knew she was a dead woman. Dead men walking. And number three, the Lord Jesus Christ saved her from the power of sin. He said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. God's people, those who are created in Christ Jesus, that new nature does not sin. Before we're regenerated, before the Lord Jesus Christ gives us a new nature, all we have is that old nature. And that old nature makes false gods, bows to them. But when the Lord Jesus Christ creates a new creature, we know who our Lord is. That man doesn't sin. That man doesn't sin. That new creature cannot sin. That cannot sin. Go and sin no more. Neither do I condemn you. What a wonderful, wonderful, sovereign grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. How he saves sinners. In the experience of God's people, we are arrested. We're arrested in the preaching of the gospel when we see that we have been committing a spiritual adultery. We do not know God. We have not come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have not bowed to him. We have not submitted to him. And we're guilty. We're guilty of death. Our mouth is stopped. But bless God, in the gospel, we also hear the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We hear that he came into the world and he established righteousness. He honored God. That's our only righteousness before God. We don't speak of our own. We don't have any righteousness but the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. He established righteousness. And then he went to the cross and paid for our sins. And now he is risen. He's risen. And he says, I don't condemn you. I don't condemn you. Don't sin. No. Go and sin. And God's people don't. God's people, that old nature, don't misunderstand me. That old nature, the only thing it does is sin. And never stop sinning. But the new man, the one created in Christ Jesus, does not sin. We're saved from the power of sin. May the Lord bless his word.